Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Be future ready with a pension powered by Zurich's award-winning investment performance.
Unionist parties are urging calm amid threats of violence and protests from loyalists over the reported Brexit deal. A Sunday newspaper report suggested loyalist paramilitaries are planning demonstrations should any Brexit arrangement involve Northern Ireland being treated differently to the rest of the United Kingdom. It comes as last-ditch negotiations continue between the UK and the European Union in Brussels. Our reporter Barry Lenehan is in Belfast for us this evening. Barry, what are people telling you in relation to any potential threat of protests or violence?
Yeah, well, this comes off the back of John Mooney's story in the Sunday Times yesterday with the headline, Loyalists Plot Action If Boris Shafts North. And his story quotes sources within Loyalist paramilitary organisations, the Ulster Volunteer Force and the Ulster Defence Association, planning protests and action should the Brexit deal involve a trade deal down the Irish Sea. Now, one prominent Loyalist quoted in the piece suggested, we'll see how hard the border is if bombs start going off in Limerick. Now, there's been widespread condemnation from unionist politicians of these threats today, as well as from politicians in Dáil Éireann as well, as those negotiations continue in Brussels. But loyalist activist Jamie Bryson, who has deep insights into the East Belfast UVF, he's been telling me of the reaction to the latest Brexit proposal and why he thinks it will bring people to the streets.
Can't see how any self-respecting unionist or loyalist could in any way support what's being put on the table now. It's an economic United Ireland, so as a unionist we want to be part of the United Kingdom customs union, not the European Union customs union, and not to be subsumed in an economic United Ireland.
But in terms of divergence, the unionists happy to diverge from London when it comes to issues such as, say, abortion, for instance. Is that not a bit a la carte?
Well, no, that's an interesting point, because actually the people that often make that point are people that support the Belfast Agreement. And it was actually due to the devolution of the Belfast Agreement that allowed those social issues to be devolved. And look, if people want to align fully with London on those social issues, I'm opposed to abortion, I'm opposed to same-sex marriage, but however, if the argument is that we're going to align and fully integrate with Westminster, then, you know, I'm all for that. I would take the hit on those social issues.
If the deal, as reported, what's in it, happens, what do you foresee happening here?
I think there would be the unionist people would engage in peaceful protest and would take to the streets in protest. Because it would be a sellout, it would be a betrayal, and it would be an economic United Ireland that would put us in essentially a waiting room to a political United Ireland, and it would be totally unacceptable to any unionist. I can't see any unionist that could live with this.
What sort of a scale of a protest would you foresee?
Well, I think on a scale that would make the flag protest in the Anglo-Irish Agreement probably look like a day at the beach.
Prospect of violence, is that there?
Well, nobody wants to see violence, and I think it's important to make that clear, especially the loyalist community don't want to see violence. But there is an issue in that over the past 3 years, there's many people in the unionist community feel nationalism, including the Irish government, by the way, have used a threat of violence in relation to the publicans attacking infrastructure on the border to try and extract political concessions in relation to the Brexit negotiations.
The Irish government would disagree with that, I'm sure.
But what I'm saying is that whenever, if you're a unionist and you're a loyalist and you're looking at it and you're seeing that it does appear that political leverage has been gained by the threat of violence, well, many people might look at that and say, well, if it's good for the goose, you know, if it's good for the gander, if the threat of the publican violence, if there's a land border, is good enough to have us subsumed into an economic United Ireland, well, some people in the unionist and loyalist community might see that as a zero-sum game and say, well, surely the same threat of violence would be good enough to ensure that there's no Irish sea border. And nobody wants that. The problem is when you poke a stick at a community, there's going to be an explosion of anger and people are going to take to the streets. And I don't think that loyalist paramilitary organisations would need to orchestrate anything or would need to engage in any type of violence, because I think the organic explosion of grassroots unionist anger would be something that's certainly unseen, certainly in my lifetime anyway.
In terms of the UVF, I know you don't speak for them, but you do believe they're watching on very closely here.
The key test probably for the UVF would be, does any potential deal or proposal weaken the union? Because all of loyalisms, even those within loyalism that did support the Belfast Agreement, did so predicated on the basis that the union was safe, and the union is no longer safe if there is a deal or a proposal that weakens the union. You know, the loyalist organisations and the UVF have been clear, as has the UDA and all the loyalist organisations, they're totally committed to peace. Nobody wants violence. No sensible person would ever want violence. But I think the problem is whenever you have a mass number of people organically taken to the streets, that sometimes that can get out of hand. And I think once that genie was out of the bottle, it would be very difficult to control.
Jamie Bryson there. Now, Jim Wilson is a former loyalist prisoner, now community activist. I met him in East Belfast near Ulster Freedom Corner on the Newton Ards Road, where we have lots of murals and Union Jack flags as well. And here's what he told me.
My difficulty around the whole situation is that it's been created by the EU and the United Kingdom, and they need a way out of it. But we're not going to be the end up being the scapegoats, the loyalist unionist community.
Given the proposals that we're seeing now, do you think we could see violence in the streets from the loyalist side?
Well, you know, in loyalism, we have always watched what's happened to our country and what's happened in the constitutional position of our country. I think people were walking blindfolded into certain things here and totally ignoring the fact that the loyalist stroke unionist community will not tolerate something being rammed down our throats by Europe or the Irish Republic or even by the British government. And it's as simple as that, because at the end of the day, our people fought and died in this country against republicanism, who wanted to put us into a united Ireland.
When you say they won't tolerate it, what does that mean?
Whatever it means, I can't really say, because I don't know what is ahead of us. I am not one for wanting to support protests or anything that brings people onto the streets. Once you bring people onto the streets, you lose control. What my fear is that if you're left with no option within our communities, that's what our community ends up doing. Going onto the streets, and before you know it, then we have violence, and specifically where you are here in the flag protest, the violence that my community ended up suffering and the Catholic community suffered over that there was intolerable.
Is there not a sense that maybe mainstream unionism is using the threat of loyalist violence as a negotiating chip with London?
Well, you see, the point about it is that I've yet to hear someone from political unionism mentioning the fact that high loyalists might react to this. And privately, I've heard it, but I haven't heard it on the media. And no one in their right mind is going to turn around and sit back and allow loyalism and unionism to be pushed about by Boris Johnson or the EU or Leo Varadkar. You have a loyalist sitting talking to you who doesn't trust the Irish Prime Minister, he doesn't trust the British Prime Minister, and he doesn't trust the EU. So what are we left with, you know, as a people in this? We're being boxed into a corner, you know, and as you know, what happened to the Catholic people in Northern Ireland when they came out in the civil rights movement and they said that they had no option but to go on the streets. Well, let's not put that back to my community, that's where the conflict starts again, where loyalists have to go onto the streets to get listened to.
The views of Jim Wilson there. And Barry Lenehan, what of the political leaders in the unionist community? What are they saying?
Well, the Ulster Unionist Party's Doug Beattie, he says that nobody should be talking about bombs going off anywhere. This off the back of those reports yesterday, whilst Geoffrey Donaldson of the DUP says all talking should be done at the ballot box rather than with threats of violence. But yesterday marks 25 years since the Loyalist paramilitary ceasefire. PUP leader Billy Hutchinson, he was involved in brokering that. He voted Remain in the Brexit referendum, and he says certainty is now needed on what happens next, or else Brexit could be exploited.
I thought 25 years ago yesterday that we'd have been a lot further on, but we haven't been, and that isn't the fault of ceasefires. I think it's the fault of the process that we designed. It didn't work. And I could say it didn't work because the Good Friday Agreement wasn't implemented to its full, and if it had been, then we might have been further on.
So what's missing?
Well, I think what's missing is, you know, we haven't done enough in communities around socioeconomic issues. I live and represent a unionist community which is full of dereliction, poverty, educational disadvantage, and we still haven't dealt with those issues. So until we actually get people who do, we're never going to move on.
The economic disadvantage, the criminality, you believe some might be using Brexit to exploit that?
The difficulties is Brexit has created a division across the United Kingdom. You know, people like to make hay when the sun shines, and they will deflect away from all the issues I'm talking about and use Brexit to do that deflection. In a democratic society, protest without violence is one of those things that we can use. I think that when we start to use threats of return to violence, it actually weakens our arguments. I think the thing about this is that people should not return to violence unless it's the last sort of thing that they have to do, and that's whenever democracy breaks down. So from my point of view, we need to get on with this. We need to give people a vision.
PUP leader and Belfast City Councillor Billy Hutchinson. Alison Morris, she's the security correspondent of the Irish News, and here's what she told me.
I mean, if you look at statistics for areas of high deprivation and places where there is specifically low educational achievement among young loyalist men, those men, as we've seen during the flag protests in 2011 and 2012, can bring this place to a standstill. I do not believe that there's the capability or will among loyalism at this minute to plant bombs, and especially to plant bombs in the Republic, as we heard over the weekend. I mean, if we look back at the history of loyalism, in a lot of cases, it was working hand in glove with the state. There was a lot of collusion. Those sort of things won't exist. You know, that will not exist in the future. What you could have is you could have mass civil disobedience. So you could have large groups of loyalism taken to the street and blocking roads, as they did during the flag protests. You see, could see large groups of young men rioting and causing disputes in major towns and cities. And that could potentially be very destabilising. I don't think that we're looking at loyalism in a structured way as we would need to worry about distant republicanism, mainly because they don't have an overall structure ruling them at this point in time.
How big a threat do the UVF or the UDA pose then at the moment?
I think at this point in time, the UDA is so fractured that they probably don't pose a great threat. The UVF are a different matter altogether. I think that people underestimate the kind of figures that are involved in UVF membership. They have continued to recruit and continue to recruit quite actively.
Do you foresee trouble, or do you foresee problems in the weeks and months ahead?
If there's one thing that we know that Northern Ireland will be like, it's trouble, you know, and that's just basically it. The reaction to every political disturbance over the years has always been that there will be a cycle of violence, and even on this island, violence tends to revolve around cycles. I think Brexit is putting us in a very dangerous situation. I think we'll definitely see an increase in distant Republican activity, because they know now that the power of Brexit is it's attracted media attention onto them that they would never have had in the past, so they're going to exploit that for everything it's worth. And I also think that there is a rumbling among loyalism that's very concerned, who think that the Good Friday Agreement was a mistake. Basically, the end result will be a united Ireland. And for them, that's making them very nervous. And I've heard very senior loyalists and people who would have in the past held great influence within those loyalist paramilitary groups saying that if they could go back in time to 1988, they would vote against the Good Friday Agreement and wouldn't have supported it. And I think hearing that from people in such a senior position should concern all of those who are worried about our security situation. The problem with unionism is they haven't been great at stepping up to the plate and providing strong political leadership. The thing about unionism in general is it tends to use that sort of loyalist group when they want them and then abandon them and they no longer need them after election time.
And that was Alison Morris, security correspondent for the Irish News, ending Barry Lenehan's report.